AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Eric today. Hey, Eric.
Hey, hey.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
I never ceases to amaze me what some people do in this world. And I mean, some of this stuff is a head scratcher, but a pair of spikes were found stuck in the ground a bit off the main path at Minnehaha Park. It's hard to say if they were intended to hurt a dog, but the Minneapolis Park Board isn't taking any chances. A woman found the spikes Tuesday afternoon while walking her dog near a fence line at the park. The two spikes were stuck in the ground with one metal spike strapped on the end. So they, you know, I'm guessing they were like little tiny spikes for, yeah, you know, to get dogs.
I have a hard time picturing what this is.
Well, Minnehaha Park, that's the where Minnehaha Falls is, I'm presuming. Mm-hmm. That's I'm pretty sure that's where that's at. So some guy goes,
booby trap?
Well, that's what I mean. A homeless guy could be, you know, a homeless guy. And so he sets some stuff up and he puts around his security system that would be the first thought I'd have. Because, yeah. But at the same time, we have over the last few years had an insane amount of people poisoning food and trying to kill dogs in their neighborhood and stuff. And that just is wild. I mean, it's just, there are some people out there that are just sickos. And that's, you know, so you when your best case scenario is delusional homeless guy who's setting up these things thinking he's creating a perimeter around his stuff, that's your best case scenario. You know, it's not good. It's not good. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. All right. I want to start off because there has been some interesting things happening at the state capitol, namely having to do with the bill to have an emergency insulin supply available to people. Now, in case you don't know, insulin is incredibly expensive. It's become expensive because there are too many pharmaceutical executives that want a 17th jet ski and want a 14th ski lodge. And so they basically have been – and the same product, it's the same company sells the same product for a minuscule amount of the price that they sell in the United States in other countries. Just here, because our politicians are so bluntly and painfully paid off, they basically are allowed to sell them at top dollars, dangling the carrot in front of the sick mule, per se. And insulin is one of those that some guys out there is like, wait a minute here. Why are we just charging $30 a vial? Why shouldn't we be charging $300 a vial? I got my eye on some lake on beachfront property that's not going to be cheap, man. We got to pay for it somehow. And they have paid off primarily Republican politicians to ignore this problem. Senator Matt Little, he's been one of the people that's been pushing the Alex Smith Insulin Act this year. Now, it's basically it was a stockpile of insulin that if you are poor and you can't afford insulin, as opposed to die, the state is going to say, we're not going to let you die. We're going to give you – we'll have an emergency ration of insulin for you if you need it. There you go. We'll cover the cost. Because that's the humanitarian. That's the Christian. That's the decent thing to do. I mean, I will go all three of those categories. And it is a decent thing to do. I mean, because quite literally the state here has got people that we can save. We can save these people. All we have to do is get them the insulin. And I'm not saying we pay for insulin all the time, although we should address the skyrocketing drug costs, absolutely, which Republicans refuse to address. But that's the case. So this is one of those bills. Initially, Republicans said, no, let him die, let him die. I'm paraphrasing. Of course I'm paraphrasing, you uptight Republican schmucks. Of course I'm paraphrasing. Kinda. But how dare you try to save them? That's just big government trying to save people from a needless death. How dare you? I mean, sort of that kind of argument they were making. Well, but then someone clearly said, hey, wait a minute here. We got a focus group of your constituents, and they all say they don't want to die. Can you believe this? They don't want to die, especially if something we can solve. So we better go along with it. So for the last few months, there has been this kumbaya on this one bill, the Alex Smith Insulin Act, that the Republicans and the Democrats had come to an agreement that this was a good idea. This would be an example of government working right. So it comes to the negotiations. They're doing these negotiations on these bills. And this would be the Health and Human Services bill, I'm pretty sure. Well, the Republicans did not include the Alex Smith Insulin Act in the final draft. As a matter of fact, they purposely omitted it. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I want to give you a completely different scenario, but you'll see where I'm going here. Have you ever worked in an office building and you've had a weird guy that works in the office building with you? You know what I'm talking about? Weird guy. Just someone that's like just a little off, just a little, you know.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm just sorry, Matt. I'll just turn towards this direction. All right. Because Hunter's not there. That's who I'd be looking at, really. I mean, it was Hunter. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdo. Anyway, no, but you know what I'm talking about. The one guy is like, you seem a little off. And that's fine. All right. So one day you go into your lunchroom, you know, your break room, you're having lunch. It's a lunch break. You packed your lunch. You brought your lunch. You unpack your lunch. You got your sandwich out there. You got your chips. Oh, you know what? I forgot my Coke over in my cubicle. All right. I'm going to be right. And you look at the weird guy. We'll call the weird guy Gary. Not Gary from Minneapolis. Don't think I'm confusing these. No, they're just Gary. Okay, we'll just go Gary. No offense, Gary. Gare Bear. But just we'll call him Gary. So you take, hey, Gary, I'll be right back. And you just point at the food and I'll be right back. And you go back to your cubicle and you get your Coke and you go back to the lunchroom to see Gary eating your sandwich. Just devouring it. And you're like, what are you doing? And the first words out of Gary's mouth are, well, you didn't tell me not to eat it. Yeah, but that was kind of a given that you shouldn't have eaten it. And yet you did eat it. It's your fault. If you would have told me not to eat it, I wouldn't have eaten it. But it's your fault I ate it. Completely skipping past the fact that he's the one that ate it. The person here at fault is clearly the Gary in this situation, and it should be kind of noted in that it's Gary who's the problem. There was an agreement here that if someone brings their own luncheon, that person is intending to eat their own lunch. Heaven forbid. And so this idea that Gary is somehow, you know, not culpable for eating the lunch because he basically said it's because of you not telling me not to eat it. That's the real problem. And you look, you know what I'm talking about? Because there are people like this in the world. Most of them are Republican politicians, unfortunately. And you kind of look at them and it's like, really? And it leads you to have to actually put notes on the refrigerator saying, don't eat anyone else's lunch. Or you actually will put a sign on your lunch, a big bold sign that when anyone opens the fridge saying, Gary, do not eat this. This is my lunch. Stop eating other people's food. And Gary then comes up to you and goes, why are you being such a jerk? Because you ate my food, and so you basically have shown me that unless I treat you like an infant that you are, that basically I can't trust you. Well, you're the jerk for pointing it out. Okay, and scene. So, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got to get the idea of this. The Republicans' argument on why they did not include the Insulin Act in this bill, an act which had been pretty much agreed to by everyone that this was good, is that the Democrats didn't put it on their spreadsheet when they sent it up to us. Now, the Democrats are all saying, we didn't think we needed to. We thought this was agreed to. This was all this. But it's a Republicans' mentality of, well, you didn't put it in there, so henceforth we didn't add it because we determined that you didn't want it. So we got rid of it, and it's on you. And the first thing you say is, wait a minute here. You could have added it at the time you wrote the bill. Us not having it on the spreadsheet does not excuse you omitting it from the legislation. We didn't tell you to not eat the sandwich, but there was a pretty clear idea that you shouldn't be eating other people's food. It was a pretty clear idea that this was supposed to be a universal thing. And so then they say, well, let's adopt it. Let's adopt this measure, to which the Republicans are going, no, which is 100% on them. But their argument, their entire argument is the Republican Gary in this situation is arguing, Katie wasn't on their spreadsheet, we didn't include it. Like it admonishes their culpability in this entire thing. No, you did this. You did this horribly unhuman, uncaring, uncompassionate, unchristian thing. You did this. And you could have, at some point, you could have called, hey, by the way, Democrats, did you want the insulin thing in here? It's not on your spreadsheet, but I thought that was something we'd agree to. You never once did that. No, you basically ran and quickly giggling. They messed up. They trusted us. We messed up. They trusted us. And they omitted the Insulin Act. They basically did this knowing it will kill people to not have this stockpile of insulin here. They know this. And yet, because they were given, they created this justification off the Democrats' spreadsheet that it wasn't in there, even though they agreed to it, that they are somehow not culpable for this. Oh, please. I'm going to ask Senator Benson. I'm going to ask Alber. Alber. What's the guy's name? I've been going around with these clowns on this stuff because, you know, he's saying it's not true. It's not true. Jim Abler. I invite you. I want you Republicans, you guys that wear your Christianity on your sleeves. I want you to come in here with your studio, with your priest, and I want you to convince everyone how Christian it is of you to allow poor people who need insulin to die because the state will not stand up and act. This is your choice. You can sit there and try to scream, Democrats didn't tell us to not eat the sandwich, but the Democrats didn't think they had to tell you you did not eat the sandwich. You had basically implied the Insulin Act was something that was popular with your side, with the other side, and you guys went out of your way. This is why, Democrats, I have to repeat this. You cannot trust Republicans. You cannot. Do not be their friends. Do not be their buddies. They will lie, cheat. They will allow diabetics to die to feel like they get a win. That is who these people are. And that is what they're doing. That is what they're gleefully and giggling doing. Yay, they didn't put it on the spreadsheet, so we're going to omit it, but blame them. This is on them. And so, if I may, Speaker Hortman, I know you're a smart person, but pull a doubt on this one. Pull a Kurt doubt on this one. Pass every other bill in the special session. When Health and Human Services comes up, re-add the Insulin Act. Put it back in the bill and then gavel the House closed and walk out of the building. Because it has to originate in the House, which means then the Senate either votes down Health and Human Services with the Insulin Act in there, or they basically don't pass the Health and Human Services bill. It's up to you. I would do that in a heartbeat because that is you putting the signs all over the fridge, putting the signs on your food saying, Gary, don't eat our lunches. That's you guys basically saying, Republicans, don't try to play these games with us. We are putting this back in what you said was popular because you guys are the cheats. You guys are the ones that are trying to hurt diabetics that can't afford insulin. You're the ones that basically are in the pocket of big pharmacy. And so we are going to take it back at you and walk away. And when they sit there and say, why are you putting signs all over the place? You tell them because you're immature babies who basically have to be monitored all the time because we cannot trust you. That would be my option. Just make sure they're debating the bill that you just sent up to them. Hey, we're going to add on this in. And when Kurt Gout and the Republicans say, you can't do that, just say, vote yes, no, bone, clown, done, we're adjourned, gone, down, out of here. And let Kurt Gout have a little taste of his own medicine. The problem is that Democrats have a tendency of being a little too more decent than Republicans. Henceforth, I don't think they'll do that. But know this, because of the Republicans' actions, people are going to die in Minnesota. And the Republicans are acting like that's a win, like they're not responsible for it when they are directly responsible for it. That's how disgusting. Senator Benson, shame on you, you disgusting pig. Shame on you. And Abler, you disgust me too, you jerk. You guys knew that was something that you would agree it on. You knew that was popular on both your sides. And you basically used the flimsiest of methods to remove it from the act, acting as if it was the Democrats. You could have put it in there yourself. You didn't. You could have amended. You could have adopted it and put that in there. You didn't. This is on you. Bravo. Brave day. Brave day for you Christians there on the right. Brave day. Oh, so pro-life, unless it's a poor insulin person that needs insulin. And then that poor person that needs insulin, their life just doesn't matter that much, does it? Shame on you people. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
There's another element of this whole story which really kind of bugs me, too, is the way the media is portraying this as, well, yes, these are innocent little Republicans. It wasn't in the spreadsheet, so what are you supposed to do? I don't know. Add it in there. I mean, Abler's comment. He's got a hashtag on the comment it's kind of disgusting. The hashtag is "Gotta offer it to get it." Gotta offer it to get it. Wait a minute, wasn't it agreed to? Gotta offer it to get it. What? Life for a diabetic who can't afford insulin? Is that really your stance, Jim? That's your stance. Gotta offer it to get it. You want to live, you stupid poor diabetic? Well, you better gotta offer it to get it. That's Jim Abler. Abler, blah, blah, blah. Ebeler. Idiot. Oh, I'm sorry. It's so hard to pronounce your name. Moron. Fool. Ass. It can't, I'm having trouble with it, Jim. Ugh. No, you have to offer it to get it. It was offered. It was agreed to. It was part of this. So you media types who are sitting there, the first thing when the Republicans are saying this, saying, well, didn't you guys agree to this? It wasn't in the spreadsheet. Well, regardless, you agreed to it. Why wasn't it part of the bill? Democrat bad. And unfortunately, and I'm not going to name names, but there's a lot of supposedly really good journalists in this town who are all saying, well, it wasn't in the spreadsheet, so what are you supposed to do, you know? But it points out something that someone else brought up to me earlier this week was about this march of the 200 – less than 200 Trump supporters. It wasn't 200. It was less than 200. But in St. Louis Park, there was a rally for Trump supporters in summer – or in a warm day on a weekend. It was a weekend, and so these women came out in their Trump gear, and they're, we're for Trump! All right? And there are some media outlets that covered this. And covered it pretty extensively, too. A big showing for Trump supporters in St. Louis Park. A huge showing. Wow, look at all the Trumps. It's less than 200. We just had a rally to stop bans on abortion that during a weekday got 1,000 people to show up at the Capitol. And I'm not saying that the media didn't cover that. But they sure didn't cover it the same way as, what a massive turnout for Trump! It was a few hundred people. Well, no, it was a few hundred people is how they reported it. I said, wait a minute here, I could have sworn the report was this. And I found two reports that said it was 1,000 people, at least 1,000 people were reported being there. But most of the media wrote a few hundred people. Well, there's a big difference between a few hundred and 1,000. Okay, a few hundred to me is like 300, 400 people. I mean, there's this dishonesty here, because whenever they write something for the Republicans, it's always this gushing, isn't this great thing, or you give them the benefit of the doubt, or you go out of your way to make excuses for them. When it's the Democrats, it's, well, we can't do that. Or you basically paint it in the most dark light. I mean, there are rallies that happened in the middle of winter for liberal causes at the state capitol where they had thousands of people show up. And there are media outlets that did not give that the same coverage as less than 200 women in St. Louis Park. I mean, the consummate example of this was the pro-Confederate flag rally, where a total of six people showed up. Six people. And the media reported it as a rally for Confederate, a pro-Confederate flag showed up at this park. Six people is not a rally. That's a mingling. That's basically, that's just a unruly group of tourists.
Yeah, you can fit six people in a gazebo.
I hope you didn't get one of those eight packs of buns, because all you needed was the six pack of buns to this crew. But they reported it. How about when they were campaigning for Walker over in Wisconsin? Walker, his rally was a big crowd showed up to see him in Hudson. It's 25 people. 25 people, hundreds of people protested him outside, and the way that the story was told, and I think it was Kara Levin actually had it this way. Kara Levin's report was a big showing for Scott Walker in Hudson. Meanwhile, some protesters showed up too. Whoa, okay, now you've changed the dynamic of the story. A far larger, the story, I'm not asking you to lie. I'm just asking you to tell the truth. I'm asking you to say, Scott Walker showed up in Hudson, but the number of people protesting him far outnumbered the people supporting him. Ta-da! Wow, what a story. You know, you can look at these Republicans, media guys, journalists. You're better at this than I am. So for me to have to point this crap out to you is a pain to me, especially people I respect. You can look at these people and saying, didn't you have an agreement? Didn't you agree to put this in there? How is this just on the Democrats in this one spreadsheet? Wasn't this something that most of the Republicans in the Senate wanted as well? Why are you so refusing to revisit this if this is something that was so popular and you agreed to? But the media in this town, they look at these clowns and they will always write for Republicans in the most positive light, in the most positive manner. in the most positive way they can. And I got a great example of this coming up here a little bit later on, something going on in Wisconsin. I'll prove this again. And when it comes to the Democrats, it's always they have to basically, I've got to make this look as dark as possible. And the reason why is they're Stockholm syndrome. They're the hostages of the Republicans. They're still terrified the Republicans will come back and, you know, scream scarlet letter liberal and on them and say, oh, I'm not a liberal. See, I cover your stuff a lot better than theirs. And of course, once again, the most consummate example of this in the last few months was when Ilhan Omar had her speech taken incredibly out of context to make it seem like she was bashing on 9/11. The media in this town said, well, we can't take what she says. We got to listen to she said it. I mean, we can't put it in context. We have to just say report on what she said. And that's what she said. When Cal Barr, the Republican, during that same week, went into the House Rotunda and said he wanted to throw the Democrats writing the anti-guns everywhere bills, and he wanted to toss them to the curb, stomp on them, and run over them a few times. The media in this town said, well, clearly his intent was not to be violent, even though his intent clearly was to be violent. You guys got to do a better job. And the first thing I would be doing is I'd get Senator Benson and the idiot guy. I would get those two people in the room and say, can you please explain to us why, if this was a bipartisan, if this was something you guys liked, why did you go out of your way to do this? And are you saying now that poor people who have diabetes, deserve to die, that the state has no right to try to save citizens of the state of Minnesota? And put them on point. And make them wear their scarlet letter of hate. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. A little social commentary when I do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The entire buying experience with Rudy Luther Toyota is so worthwhile. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance with every new Toyota purchased. Their super staff is wonderful, always ready to help. And there's the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Head on over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Indeed. It's Greek to me. Fantastic place. If you've not been over there, it is fantastic. 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis.
And like I said, we mentioned here, we're going to have a lot of stuff going on all Memorial Day weekend. It's GreekToMeMN.com. It's GreekToMeMN.com for more information about that. 952-946-6205. By the way, Twins are up 4-0 currently over the California Angels, looking to sweep that series. So, you know, you get highlights of this, where we are in this country right now. Once again, you can go to Canada, by the way, and buy insulin far less expensive. From the same exact companies. From the same exact companies. You can go to Canada and get your medications, and they're dirt cheap compared to American prices. Because in the United States, we have a system where the wealth buys the system. And the system is innately corrupted by design. By design. I got the pleasure of rewatching a incredibly underrated film, I think, called Snowpiercer. And if you've not seen this film, it's very violent. It's a very violent film. It's got a lot of bad words in it. But the basic gist of the movie is that the world has ended. It's frozen over again. And because of that, the only people left on the planet are a bunch of people who are riding this train called the Snowpiercer, which loops around the world, and it takes 1 year for it to go all the way around the world, and it does. And the train basically is a represents the class system, that the very back of the train, the very end of the train, is the poorest of the poor, and the front of the train are the very wealthy. And what you end up having is through, like I said, it is a pretty violent film. You have Chris Evans, who plays Captain America in the Avengers movies. He stars as the lead here of a person that's in the back of the train who leads a revolt to the front of the train. And the social commentary about this cannot be undenied, that the fact that the people that say that people have their place on this planet, that you all are you know, you have to, you're the poor, you stay in the back of the train, we're the wealthy, we stay in the front of the train. That's something that the wealthy stay. That's something that the wealthy insist on. That's something that the wealthy basically, you know, it's something that they have installed upon all of us. And to understand how we've gotten this way, you have to go back. I want you to go back 100 years. And I want you to look around the world that we have today. And even though things are back on the downslide, and we're definitely, things are getting worse and worse for us as regular citizens here in this country, it still is a lot better than where we came from. We started seeing the labor movement in the 1880s, 1890s, when, you know, we had basically a corporate monarchy in this country, that the wealthy were deemed to be the dukes and lords that ruled over all of us. Company towns basically were used to control the workforce and keep the workforce not only in line but relatively poor. Keep them to where they were in debt. Keep them where they were basically easy to manipulate. And we started working, and we started saying to ourselves, "No, in America, that we were taught that we have a chance." And so, when you get to 100 years ago, there were some big societal changes that were starting to happen. Most of the people up until this point either lived in the country, in rural communities, and for the most part, when you think about a rural farmhouse, if they were working the land out in the fields, it's not these plantation homes with this long, beautiful porch. No, they were generally pretty small. I mean, you can go still find a lot of them out there, especially the brick ones. They were relatively tiny little houses that they were in, but they still were, you know, because of the country, it was a little bit bigger than what you'd get in the city. a lot of people, the vast majority, and there are always big houses. There's always been wealth. James J. Hill and the people up on Summit Avenue built their houses up on the hill so that the poors could look upon them and they could look down upon the poors. And they did. That's why they built up there. No one wanted to build up there. For God's sakes, you couldn't even get a road up to the top of that hill until the wealthy wanted a road up to the top of the hill. And so they did this, but they gave some land to the cathedral. So, you know, it wasn't just about, you know, rubbing the poor people's noses in their wealth. It was about other things. Washburn in Minneapolis moved to the park that's across from the MIA, Minneapolis Institute of Arts. That was Washburn's estate. And there are these estates out there. There's always been wealth out there. The houses on Lake Minnetonka, I mean, massive cathedrals to wealth that they have out there. They've always had this. But back then, most people did not live like that. You lived in tenements, townhomes, small flats. I mean, when they had the Skid Row project where they took out the blocks and blocks of Minneapolis, a lot of those buildings were one-room apartments with a shared bathroom down the hall. I mean, that's what you had. That was your existence. And that was the working class. And the idea of the middle class, and I want to be careful because the middle class really, it existed, but it didn't really exist. It was the people that had skills like accountants that helped the wealthy that were deemed to be worth some value more than the workers. But there was far more workers. I mean, the lower class was by far the largest group of people in the United States at that point. So the concept of a middle class upbringing and a lifestyle was science fiction. And then science fiction started becoming real. Go look in the 1920s, St. Louis Park. That's where they started building the suburban homes. If you look in St. Louis Park today, and you look especially the houses west of Highway 100 on like Highway 7, Minnetonka Boulevard, that area, Cedar Lake Road, you'll see these houses, these neighborhoods where they're just – these houses are just crammed right next to each other where there's like a walkway and a half between each house. That was exorbitant. That was fancy. That was the wealthy neighborhood. You've got a front yard and a backyard and a garage. My God, the wealth is pouring in. A total of 1,700 square feet. My goodness, I never even dreamed of having such space. What am I even going to put in it? But for the most part, that still was out of reach for most people. The Great Depression really led to the rise of the workers' rights. And the fights in the 30s where the workers got their power became good. And then, of course, World War II was a very big part of this. And so then all of a sudden, as we get into the 40s, things changed. Because the poor, the working class, all of a sudden were getting paid. And all of a sudden there were houses available to them. You could be a fry cook at a restaurant, still get paid probably about $30,000, $35,000 a year. You could afford a house. Probably a car. You might even be able to take a vacation every year. And the houses all of a sudden weren't all of a sudden just jammed right next to each other. It was, you know, you could have a nice little house, 2,000 square feet. Maybe not a modeled basement, but, you know, you still had, you know, three bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs, a full yard, garage, car, paved driveway. My God. And this was what fueled America, was that after 60 years of fighting the workers' rights, not only did workers have rights, but the end result of the workers getting rights for the people who were doing the work was we had the rise of the middle class. And all of a sudden, people weren't being kept in tenements in one-room apartments, that they could afford something in Richfield and in Bloomington and in Hopkins and in Minnetonka. They could afford these houses, and they could move out, and they could have a yard, and they could have an existence, not by being, you know, going to college and get a four-year degree. No, by just working. You could be a plumber. You could pave roads. You could be the dairy, work at the dairy. You could, you know, be a carpenter, and you still were making a good living. And people had it good. And the wealthy couldn't stand it. Because if all of a sudden the poor white people could all of a sudden start getting close to them, start getting close to their Washburn mansions and start getting close to their Lake Minnetonka estates, that it was only a matter of time before then the minority poor started getting there too. And for God forbid, don't think that racism didn't play a huge part of this. The war against the rise of the middle class has been fairly successful. The conservatives have they target it really in two different directions. One, they went after consumer prices. And, you know, that salary where you're making $30,000, $35,000 a year and you're able to board a house and a car and a quality of life, they said that we can't have that. So prices started going up. Back then, it wasn't that bad. You know, you're talking about going from 12 cents a loaf of bread to 13 cents a loaf of bread. And so it wasn't something people noticed. It was when the gas prices skyrocketed, which, by the way, people forget a lot of that was our own petroleum industries in the United States that were screwing us over. That's when things really started going crazy. When consumer prices got so tied to the gas industry and the petroleum industry that basically they were able to negate the buying power of the middle class by raising the price of things up higher. The other side of it was to get rid of the unions, because the unions meant, and good workers' rights meant, a strong, viable workforce that was making money. And they didn't look at it as, well, look at all these people that have money. Now they can buy more of our product. It became, how dare they think they should walk in the same circles as us. They used to know their place. They used to know that the boot on their throat was mine, and they respected that. And so that's what they went after. And they have been wildly successful at getting rid of the unions and workers' rights. How many states in this country right now are right to work? Where basically you can get fired and there's no recourse you got no matter what. They can tell you, I'm firing you because you're old. Pretty much you're not going to be able to have any recourse. They can fire you because you're a woman and there's not a lot of recourse. They can fire you for any reason they want to. And they have slowly deteriorated this. And they've reinstalled their houses on the hills, the James J. Hills. They have reinstalled that. They do it, though, instead of doing, you know, it's not as visible. It's not as plain. It's not so in your face as it was back in the day. But what it is it's now via cable news, entertainment programs. We'll tour the wealthiest houses. You'll get the click bait on your internet there to come take a look at the most expensive houses in your zip code, that sort of thing. And they pushed this idea that wealth should be something that is worshipped, that your life is meaningless unless you have that third jet ski. Your life is meaningless. You can't possibly have a good vacation with your kids just going and camping by a lake. You have to be going down to Mazatlan for the gold-plated package. Oh, God. Tons of Instagram, ready shot locales there to make all your friends envious. And now here we are because the wealthy's lust for money has gotten us to the point of where we're at today, where people who are going to die because they can't afford insulin, not because insulin is as affordable as it always was, but because someone needs to make profit off Americans, off U.S. citizens, that we have to have a debate on whether it's worthwhile for the state to have a stockpile of emergency insulin to save people's lives. We need to – I'm never been for, wealth redistribution. I have never been for that. I'm a capitalist. I believe in the capitalist system. But what we have right now is not the capitalist system. We have a return of the corporate monarchy. And they are doing everything in their power to take us from the golden days of the middle class in this country in the 1950s. Well, the white middle class, let's be honest here. It still wasn't equal across that board either. But they want to take us back to a point where we're all betrothed. We're all in debt. We all basically work three jobs, four jobs. We all live in rental properties, cheap rental properties that are not taken care of, that health care and medicine are only for the people that can afford it, that food is – you get a base food supply and that's it. And that if you dare complain about the situation, they'll look at you and say, well, you got a phone, huh? Well, if you got a phone, you don't need anything else. You got extra money. Like that's a viable counterpoint. If we don't fight back and start saying, oh, hell no. And that means showing up at the freaking polls. That means showing up in elections. That means showing up at primaries. That means confronting Republicans, not just punching the Democrat next to you, but confronting Republicans. If we do not do this and start fighting back now, it will be the 1880s again. And we will have lost everything that we gained. We'll have one beacon of history where the worker had rights. And then the wealthy said enough of that. And with a few campaign donations around, the politicians let them get away with it, the conservative politicians. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back, Matt. I'll get your phone call after the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
No one beats Warner Stellion. No one. Our passion is earning your business, and we've guaranteed appliance savings for nearly 70 years. But the Warners know there's more to it than just offering the lowest price. So we've hired and we've trained the very best people to make every step of your appliance buying experience simple and fun. Now through June 3rd, Warner Stellion will save you even more with exclusive in-store specials. Go to WarnerStellion.com or come on in for full details. Choose Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
Hi, Matt here from Green Home Doctors. We've just experienced the worst ice dam season in years. If you had ice dams, it is critical to fix the cause so this doesn't happen again and create damage to your ceiling, or worse. Contact Green Home Doctors to analyze your heat loss. We have specialized equipment that allows us to diagnose where the heat loss is occurring and make it possible to remedy the issue effectively. Visit greenhomedr.com. That's greenhomedr.com.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. And we've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Or autotech.org.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Have you noticed? You know another place this is happening? It's college scholarships. How many scholarships do you know go to wealthy families now? The entire idea of a scholarship was that someone who had good grades or could play a sport but didn't have the financial wherewithal to go to college could get into college. Now, almost every scholarship I know of goes. Almost everyone I know of goes to wealthy people.
Yeah, it goes to some sort of family relationship. It
goes to a sport. Well, to be in these sports at this level, you have to be upper class anyway. I mean, we have really pushed back. The conservatives have really pushed back on this, and if we don't stop and fight back on it, I don't know if we'll ever be able to. Matt is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Matt.
Hi, Matt. This is Matt
the other Matt. This really touches a deep chord with me. I'm 41 years old. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I watched as a young kid growing up in the public school system in Philadelphia. I watched as they completely decimated, the Republicans decimated the public school system there, and they have continually divided working class people by saying, you know, dangling the, like, well, the union, if you're a union worker and you have what they demonize the health coverage that union workers have by calling it a Cadillac plan. And they say, like, well, if you have this Cadillac plan, how dare they have full health coverage? And then, you know,
And Matt, if I can step on in here, no, he's exactly right. There are dupes, and actually people that have done stories who have said that they got tricked by Republicans into working against unions and stuff because they said the minute we get rid of the union, your wages will go up, and their wages actually went down. Their benefits went away. One final story here. Wisconsin Republican Party has got dealt a series of stinging defeats in the 2018 midterm elections, but the party doesn't think it needs to change big in its policies. Rather, as outlined in the New Republic's Alex Shepard, they think it's important to create safe spaces for Trump supporters on places like college campuses. Citing a recent autopsy report of the Wisconsin GOP's losses in 2018, Shepard documents how the party constantly dances around its problems and relies mostly on promoting better organizing. In particular, the report bemoans the plight of college Republican groups who find themselves outnumbered and too often unsupported on college campuses. Although the report does not say that the college campuses have an obligation to allow diverse points of view to be heard, and that includes the center right perspective. Well, you know, no, I think college campuses should be a clearinghouse of ideas. But just because your ideas suck and your ideas are not very popular doesn't mean the college has a right, an obligation to get people to show up for your group. that's just stupid. But I want to go back to my point earlier about how the media covers things. How many times have you heard talk show hosts and stuff like, here's the liberals talking about needing safe spaces at college, you boo-hoo liberals. Listen to these Republicans. We're not popular at all on college campuses, so we need a safe space to be there. I'm sure all the conservatives who badmouth liberals who are talking about creating safe spaces, I'm sure they're going to get on board and start bashing on the Republicans any second now, just any second now. They're going to start in on them saying, oh, well, it was bad enough for the liberals, it surely is bad enough for the Republicans. My guess is you won't see that. You won't see that at all. But, hey, you know, it is endearing to know that on college campuses that even the college Republicans – and don't get me wrong, college Republican groups are probably doing well in some campuses, but I know that they are getting really low attendance numbers on most campuses because their policies are so wildly unpopular. This is back when they were arguing don't do the gay marriage thing because even the young Republicans knew that this would decimate the party. Well, congratulations. That's where you are right now. Poor Wisconsin. Poor Wisconsin. Brett and Eric up next till tomorrow. See you.